You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
I'd like to welcome you to our Easter service, all of you who are out listening and still be in the church, even though we can't be in here together. We are the church, so let's open with a word of prayer and let's celebrate today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we celebrate your life today. We thank you that you would love us so much that you would send your Son, Father, to die for us. And today we celebrate the resurrection and we anticipate his return. God, we praise you and we thank you. And so let's rejoice together and praise God as families. And we lift up the name of Jesus. We pray this all in his name. Amen. So we're going to open with an opening hymn, Christ Arose. Please sing along with us. Julie, to come and do prayer requests and our scripture for today.
Good morning. The scripture for today is John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Okay. Anything else? Any prayer requests out there? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and first of all, we just want to praise you that you have risen, that you died on the cross to pay that penalty once and for all of us. And we just pray, Lord God, that you would touch hearts and lives with that message today. We pray, God, also for the leadership in our country, that you would just give them wisdom and give them insight beyond measure, Lord God, to make the decisions that need to be made in every situation. We pray for our president, the state leaders and county leaders, and our church leaders, Lord God. We just pray that you would give them wisdom, that you would put people in places that would help them with decision making. And we just pray that they would ask you for guidance. Lord, we pray also for all of our medical staff, Lord Jesus, all over the country, EMTs and firemen and nurses and doctors and CNAs and all of those, Lord God, who were out in the midst of all of this, Lord God, we just pray for their protection. We pray also for those companies that are making respiratory units and protective equipment, Lord God, that you would just bless them and help them to be able to get these things accomplished. We pray for the small businesses and the large businesses and the people that are at home without work. Lord God, we just pray that you would help them to know that you will care for them and that you will help them to be able to take care of things, Lord Jesus, that you will guide them. We pray also for Bob and Sue Nelson, who are both struggling with their health right now. Lord God, we just pray that you would bring healing upon their lives. We pray for this little baby named Christian, who has cancer in both of their eyes. Lord God, we just pray that you would heal this and that you would help the doctors to be able to take care of this, Lord God. We pray for Ross Wills as he continues with his chemotherapy, and we just pray for healing of these tumors. Lord, and we pray for Jared and Shannon, who are expecting soon. Lord God, we just pray that you would bless the labor and delivery and keep them safe. We pray for Bryce Christofferson, Lord God, that you would continue to strengthen his body and help him, Lord God. We pray for all of the churches all over the nation, that we would be reaching out, that we would be doing what we can, and that you would, that people would see your love reflected in everything, everywhere. We pray that your Holy Spirit would just pour out upon this nation and this world, Lord God, and that everyone would see and know their need for you, and that we would answer that call, Lord God, that you want to be our Father, that you desire to be the one that will help us and guide us and lead us, and that you love us so much. Thank you, Lord God, for everything, and we pray your blessing upon the rest of this service and upon this day. And we thank you, God. Amen.
Thank you, Julie. We actually am going to announce that we are going to do an offering, but not here. So if you would, for those of you who are listening, whatever church you belong to, as well, because we know we have several churches from or people from across the country that are listening. So we would just encourage you to send an offering into your home church and to support them, and to know that the ministry continues on, even though that we're not in this building. There are definitely needs. So please send in your offering, and may God just bless you. So I would like to pray over that, and then we're going to continue on with some praise songs. So let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we just thank you for all that you provide. God, we praise you for of course, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave everything for us, Lord. We pray, God, that we would be the church. God, we know that the church is not the building. God, it is people who love you and who live for you and who you have called. So we pray right now, God, that you'd bless the church, that you would guide each and every one of us who are listening. We also pray for those who are struggling with illness, Lord, God, that we didn't mention. And I pray right now that you would be with those who are grieving, Lord. And we pray, God, for that you would just deliver this world, God, from the virus, God, that has just seemed to have taken over. So we give all of this into your hands, Lord. We thank you, and may you bless this offering to your use. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to begin by singing Hallelujah for the Cross.
ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. And my orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance.
Over.
same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. He's working all things out.
Crown him. Dear Lord, we just give you thanks for this great sacrifice that your Son has made for us, and he has risen today, and let us spread that good news to everyone in this world, in this dark time. He is risen, and he is our path to you. In your name we pray, amen.
Today is a day that we celebrate Christ rising from the dead for our sins. And this song's always meant a lot to me. It's Revelation song, and it just gives God all the glory and how holy he is and how worthy he is.
Holy, holy is he. mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath of living water, such a marvelous mystery.
Thank you, Faye. Beautiful. Thank you, praise team. What an amazing God we serve. When you think about all that has taken place over this last while, it's been quite a year. And there's some words that have just made it very clear to me, actually this morning, it really came to me as I was sitting here this morning, that a lot can happen in 3 days. When you think of Friday, and then you think of Sunday, a lot can happen in 3 days. And then there's three words that Jesus mentioned that are pretty powerful. And if we could ever understand just the dynamic words, these three words, it is finished. What that really means. Pretty powerful. The title of my sermon today for Easter is For God So Loved, John 3:16. But before I get into that, I want to just revisit a little bit last Sunday, because I left you with a lot of scripture and I left you with quite a challenge as families. As you walk with Jesus through the week, and of course, that is referred to as Holy Week, starting with Palm Sunday. And I encourage you to daily walk with Jesus on that final path, his final walk on earth leading up to the death on Friday. And for those of you that were not with us last week, I would like to just review the past week briefly without giving you all the scriptures. So here we go. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a colt. A donkey, the colt of a donkey, fulfilling prophecy from 500 years earlier. And the crowds were hollering, Hosanna, save us. Hosanna, save us. And they were calling Jesus their king. But he wasn't the king that they were expecting. For they anticipated a king that would save them here on earth. Save them from the Romans. And in other words, Jesus was not the king that they thought. And then on Monday, Jesus curses the fig tree and cleanses the temple of the corrupt money changers. And I love the image of Jesus tipping over tables and chasing people out, people that were corrupting who he was and the beauty of the temple and the worship that was supposed to take place. On Tuesday, Jesus goes back to the temple again and he teaches, and Jesus' authority was questioned by the Pharisees. They were not happy with him. Jesus, as we know, was also anointed on Tuesday at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, and Mary and Martha. And Mary gets up and he takes a pint of nard, which is very expensive perfume, and pours it on Jesus' feet and wipes his feet with her hair. And this made Judas Iscariot very upset. He says it was because of the price of it, but I often wonder what he was really concerned about. On Wednesday, Judas Iscariot plots to betray Jesus. Evidently, the anointing of oil on Tuesday night was too much for Judas, and it pushed him over the edge. So he agrees to betray Jesus, and he goes to the Pharisees, and he says, "What can I get?" And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. On Thursday was the Last Supper, and Jesus is also comforting his disciples. And then, of course, you remember the time in Gethsemane as Jesus prays. And he asked God, the Father, he said, if this cup could pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. And three times he says that, not my will, but your will be done. On Thursday night, Jesus was betrayed and arrested in a quick trial early Friday morning. Friday was interrogated by Pilate, mocked before Herod, and the final judgment by Pilate, and the scourging, and the crucifixion. And Jesus died, we are told, about 3 p.m. on Friday, and was buried in a tomb, and I'm sure it appeared to everyone that that was it. It's all over. But it was not over. It had just begun. Because Jesus said, "It is finished," and he breathed his last. But what was finished and what was about to begin? And that brings us to Saturday. One of my favorite days is as I think of Holy Week, because I wonder what was going on. What was Jesus doing? And what was going on in the minds of Jesus' followers? You can only imagine a day filled with emotions of relief and of thinking that they had won, the religious leaders, that finally that Jesus was out of their hair. Things can get back to normal. But for the disciples, they must have been scared, they must have been overwhelmed with feelings of brokenness and sadness, confusion and fear, wondering what just happened. How could Jesus have died? This wasn't how we thought it would end. We thought he was going to establish his kingdom now. What just happened? And what did Jesus mean when he said it is finished? And that brings us to today, and the resurrection, and the reason we celebrate, the reason that we are here. So listen closely and follow along if you have your Bibles at home or if you just want to look on the screen. And I'd like to read to you the passage in Matthew. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10, we're going to start. It says, "After the Sabbath, which is Saturday at dawn, on the first day of the week, Sunday, Mary and Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it." I love that image. Earthquake comes, stone is rolled away, and the angel sits down on top of it. So much for the seal. It says the angel's appearance was like lightning. Try to imagine that. It was like lightning, and his clothes glowed. It was like white as snow. It was so pure. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. This was just an angel of the Lord. Verse 5, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Well, he's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." And then the angel tells the women, and he says, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. And now I have told you. And I often marvel at those five words. It's just like, okay, the angel was there, he did his job, and he says, okay, it is finished. Now I've told you. My job is complete. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them, and he says, greetings. And they came to him, clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them too, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, for there they will see me. Now, I don't know about you, but I've read that passage so many times. So many times, and every time I am filled with a flood of emotions, every time I go through those verses one at a time. And my first thought, as I thought about it this week, I thought, what incredible power. What incredible power of God in that violent earthquake. It wasn't just an earthquake. It was a violent one. And I can only imagine it shook heaven and earth. And then I think of the purity and the majesty of God displayed in the appearance of the angel, as the angel is described as lightning. Lightning that we can't even look at. And then wearing clothes that are as white as snow. And then I wonder, again, about God's sense of humor. As Scripture describes how these tough Roman Praetorian guards, all these soldiers, there could have been up to 16, usually four at a time would stay awake, the other 12 would sleep, and they would keep taking shifts because they were so concerned about a dead man leaving the tomb. And these tough Roman guards, they had trained, they were basically trained killers. And they began to shake and were so afraid when they saw an angel of the Lord. And then I think of God's sovereign power and his faithfulness, that he always finishes what he starts. How even death couldn't stop what God was doing and what he had planned from the very beginning. Remember that this is not plan B. This was God's plan from the very beginning. And so we read on in verses 16 through 20 what the disciples did, and they were faithful. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee after they were told to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. But some doubted, and my first thought was, Thomas, what are you doing? But not all the blame falls on Thomas. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then Jesus gives us a job to do, every single one of us. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And then he says, and surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. Jesus left us with a job to do. That job is still for us today. And we hear about Paul speaking to that in Ephesians 2:10, one I refer to quite often because it's a challenge to me, because this is my job, this is what you have to do as well. Because we are God's workmanship. In another version it says masterpiece. For we are God's workmanship, we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us. And getting back to Matthew, the disciples did what God told them to do. They went to Galilee, they went to the mountain where Jesus told Mary and Magdalene and the other Mary to tell them. And I love what he says in this passage, because he says, go tell my brothers. Can you wrap your mind around that? God the Father, Son, says, go tell my family. Go tell my family to meet me at the mountain. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's what you are. You are family. You are brothers and sisters of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The one who came to earth, came to die for us, defeated sin and death on the cross, and rose again. And we are his family. We are the church. And the church is not a building. I've said that so many times. This is just a place where we come together. If you would have said to the disciples in Jesus' day, they said, where are you going to go for Easter? Are you going to go to church? They would look at you like, what are you talking about? We are the church. How do you go to church? The church is the people who love Jesus, who've trusted their hearts, their lives to him. And as I was thinking about what I should concentrate for the message for today, I, of course, had to share with you the account of the resurrection because it is so powerful. That is the story of Easter. That is what Jesus came to that place in his ministry where he can say, it's finished. I'm done. The church has started. But then I thought about the message, and I honestly, I was overwhelmed. I was intimidated because I thought, this is the gospel, and I don't want to mess it up. This is so important to get right because the world is attacking the gospel all the time, trying to take truth and to twist truth. And so a couple of weeks ago, I began to plead with God for this message for today, for what he wanted me to say. And it was just as if he had said to me, like I was a little child, he said, Galen, you're my family, so just tell my story. And by the way, your story is mine. So let your story be mine. Did you hear that? Jesus says to you, tell your story and let your story be his. As I thought about that, I thought, you know, sometimes my story isn't all that attractive. But my story is his because it's who he made me to be. And I began to feel very inadequate to share with all of you the greatest story ever told. Because then I thought of my story and I thought, how can my story even measure up or be a part of what Jesus did? But you need to know the truth about this life, and so I'm here today to share the truth with you about this life that you're living and the life that is to come. First of all, you can see from Scripture in Romans that we are all sinners, for we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every one of us. And we need a Savior, and there is only one Savior. Paul says this in Acts 4:12. He says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There's no other option. And when God reveals that to you and draws you unto himself, in other words, makes you aware that you need him, we are to respond as Romans 10:9-10 says, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And when you are saved, which is why Jesus came in the first place, he came for you, and he came for me. We need to know that we no longer lost in sin, for 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come, and man, that is good news. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this about our Lord and Savior. And I read this scripture and I have cried many times that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that there was a reason, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, so that we might be brothers and sisters of Christ, that we might be family. And then once again, that brought me to my story and wondering, why is my story his story? Because he made me and he called me his own, it says. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. And I stand here today to tell you I'm embarrassed to tell you there was a time I didn't even want it. But let me tell you, God is so patient. And he is so kind, and he is so loving. And he is so merciful and forgiving and full of grace because he so loves us so much. In our fellowship hall, we have been blessed with amazing centerpieces on our tables that we normally would sit around and we would visit with each other on Sunday, a day like today. And a wonderful servant who has an incredible gift, Linda Thompson. She's probably going to be upset because I mentioned her name, but I'm going to anyway. Linda Thompson made them for us, and these centerpieces include 3 nails, a cross, some purple cloth, and a little standing folder that tells us the reason that Jesus did what he did. And the reason that we can stand here is that we can sit here, that we can be in our homes, and we can celebrate because of this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. An Easter service is never complete until we share God's invitation with all of you. And I know firsthand that life can be hard and life can be scary. I remember a time my father was telling me, and he said he was approaching 90 years old, and he said to me, Galen, I can't believe how fast my life has gone. I can't believe how fast my life has gone. Your life is a gift to you from God. And so is his offer of salvation. And just like John 3:16 says, for God so loved you that he gave his own one and only Son for you so that you wouldn't perish, but that you would be family. And I think of God just as an amazing, loving Father. And it reminded me of a story one time that a pastor told me, and he was on a flight. And the flight was rough, and there were people crying, and there were people screaming, people with white knuckles hanging on to their seats. And there was this little girl that was sitting in there just coloring and just reading and not paying much attention, seemed to be not bothered at all. He said, and I went over to her, and I asked, how come you're not scared? And she said, because my dad's the pilot. And when we left home, and every time we leave home, he says, I'll get you home. I'm bringing you home. Because my dad's the pilot. That's what John 3:16 speaks of, the love of God the Father that is like that. His promise to us is that he will bring us home. So whatever the world throws at us, whether it's a virus or whether it's just broken relationships, whether it's wars and rumors of wars, we have the assurance that God is going to bring us home. That's John 3:16 and all wrapped up. And so my question for all of you today that are listening, my question is, will you surrender yourself to Jesus today? This is not about religion. We know what Jesus thought of the religious leaders. This is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what church you go to. God is calling you. And my question to you is, are you willing to surrender yourself to him today? Are you willing to surrender yourself to Jesus Christ, God's only Son, for salvation is found in no one else? For there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So will you trust him? Will you follow him? Will you believe in him? And know this, believing in him is an all-in believing. It's an act of the heart. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, God's word is very clear that from Scripture that says, yes, we are saved by grace. It is a gift from God. It is not of ourselves. Salvation is only by grace. We can't add anything to it, and we can't take anything away from it. It's only realized in the heart, a heart that God has changed. So if you're hearing God's call on your life today, would you please just pray with me now? As we close in prayer, and then we are going to share in communion one more time. So if you in your homes want to get some bread, get some juice ready, we will prepare for communion, but I'm going to say a prayer first for those who are listening, for anyone that has not yet received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We come before you in humility, knowing, God, that we cannot be saved without your Son, Jesus Christ. We are sinners. We have fallen short of the glory of God. And there is nothing we can add or get to that or work for it. But it says when you call us, when you take that time into our lives and you speak into us and make us aware that we need you, you draw us unto yourself and you help us and you guide us. You make it available to us that we can come before you. So, Lord, if there is anyone today that is listening, would you please bring them to that place where they would say, I surrender. I am for repenting. I'm asking God to forgive me for my sins. Make me new. Take out this heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh, a heart that can be changed, a heart that can never be taken away. Cleanse us. Make us white as snow. And so, Lord, as we come before in communion today, help us not only to reflect on our lives, but help us to celebrate. I remember your words that you said before you were going to your Father's kingdom, that you would not take this supper again until we have it with you in heaven. I can't wait for that day. So, Father, we just pray right now that you would just speak into our hearts. Draw us to yourself. Make us complete. We pray that all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to ask those that are here helping, if you want to grab, there's bread and juice there in that. Just go ahead and pick it up. And for those of you at home, if you would start to distribute it among your family or whoever you're with, I'm going to read some scripture out of 1 Corinthians. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together. And Jesus picks up the cup, and in the same way, he says, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us drink together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We remember before you today the sacrifice. We remember before you the day that death was defeated once and for all. And Lord, we praise you. And so we pray together as you call us family to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up, and we will close our service today by singing Christ the Lord is Risen. Christ the Lord is risen today. Sing it out loud, and God bless you all. Have a great Easter. Let's sing out.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, Alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done, Alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won, Alleluia. Death in Christ has opened paradise, Alleluia. Lives again our glorious King, Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting, Alleluia. Dying once he
pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We pray that you'd guide us as we go from here. Help us to live as family that are going to be in your presence one day as you promise to come back to bring us to be with you. We praise you now and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.